All right, be sure to take advantage of all the awesome things. I'll never forget when I was a young believer, a man of God came to our prayer meeting. His name was George Stormont. And George Stormont was a guy who walked with Smith Wigglesworth, who was this great, very unique evangelist. And by the way, before I forget, let's say hello to our family in Philadelphia. God bless you, Philly Tab. Hallelujah. If you're new here, we are one church in two cities. They've been worshiping there. Actually, Chrissy is there in Philadelphia today. And hi, honey. And we are just seeking the Lord together. Now we're going to open the Bible together and share together. And hey, everyone in Philly, I know that you just finished seeing announcements and taking the offering just like we did. And I was telling them about a story that when I was really young, George Stormont came to the church. And very early on, I was grateful because the kind of Christians that I connected with were pretty serious. And the guy who discipled me, he had this book collection. And so I was introduced to spiritual books. If you want to edify your life, read godly books. Very, very important. As a baby Christian, I just started reading godly books. So I read books about Smith Wigglesworth, who was an evangelist. He was used in healings, great miracles. He used to be a plumber. And then he became just this mighty man of God. So anyway, long preamble to say, when George Stormont came to the prayer meeting that night, here's what he said. He said, "I'm so glad you're here. And let me tell you why you should always prioritize going to the prayer meeting." He said, "Don't miss the prayer meeting because you might miss when the Spirit falls." And let me tell you something. Your life changes when the Spirit falls. So I want to encourage you, will grow, you will be transformed when the Spirit falls. That's why, and by the way, prayer meetings make Sunday services better. Because there's an ascending cycle. The more God's people pray, the more His Spirit and grace comes. How many felt the presence of the Lord today? How many are grateful for the presence of the Lord? We attribute that to the prayer meeting. And so come out and pray with God's people in Philadelphia. Don't miss the prayer meeting. It's the most important meeting of the week. And it actually flows right into what I want to talk to you about today. So, you know, every time I kind of find I have to spend a lot of time alone, in a way, because I have to study and pray, and then sometimes when I travel, I'm alone a lot. You're sitting there in that chair. When I went on this long ministry trip, you're alone a lot. I mean, Chrissy's there, but she's in another seat, and you're stuck in that little space. So anyway, anytime I kind of get away and I'm a little bit more in like meditation space, I find myself going towards the long game. Like, always think about the long game. And I learned this from baseball. Like, there's like short-term things, and then there's long-term things. And you know, I tell you about how I used to run. You know, I used to run that. If you pitch on Saturday or if you pitch on Sunday, your hardest day of running is actually the next day. And it's how you renew yourself and revive yourself. So you pitch on Sunday. So Monday, you have to kill yourself running. You're like, "But aren't you tired?" Yeah, but that's what makes you, it revives you, makes you stronger. And so it's, if you don't think about the next time you're going to pitch on Monday, you're just not ready. And so now you become a Christian. When I became a Christian, it was like, it's not about now. It's about the day that we see Him face to face. Play the long game. Think about the long game. Make your decisions based on the long game. How many want to hear in Philadelphia and right here, how many want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Your lifestyle, your decisions are different when you think about the long game. And you know, it's always my perspective when I think about winning or real quote success, it's finishing well. It's running the race all the way to the end. Amen? Haven't you noticed that some people are in the church and in the kingdom for seasons and then hard things happen or they get hit by hardship and then they fall off or they get offended or they get this or they go, you know, it's great to be here for a short time, but let me tell you, as children of God, we've got to run the race all the way to the finish line. How many would say amen? So I want to bring you to a passage of scripture where Jesus was sharing with his disciples one of the secrets of winning the long game and of playing the long game. And what I love about this passage of scripture is that it's personal advice that Jesus shared 2,000 years ago with his apostles, with his disciples. These are disciples that would become apostles, right? But he was sharing this personal advice. This is before he rose from the dead. And we're getting like an inside view because that inside moment was meant to be an inside moment between you and God right now in Philadelphia right here. Like, if you read this for yourself, and by the way, when you read the Bible, read it like Jesus is talking to you. When you read the Bible, don't read it like a book of principles. Read it like you're meeting the person behind the principle. Somebody say amen to that. So he was giving them this very, very important kind of advice. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Here's what it says. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus asking, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So Jesus called a child to come and stand in front of them and said, I assure you, unless you change and become, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who humbles himself, that's part of the change, and becomes like this child, because he calls this little child and says, stand there. And he says, and whoever welcomes in my name one such child as this welcomes me. So they're thinking about success. They're thinking about greatness. They're thinking about, okay, who's the greatness? How do we become great? And Jesus gives them this wonderful, powerful advice, which is the title of the message today. And guess what he says? He says, here's what you need to do. You need to stay young. You know what the word of the Lord to you is today? Stay young. Everybody say, stay young. Come on in Philadelphia, stay young. When you serve God, one of the keys to living right and staying strong and being good and running the race the way you're supposed to run the race and finishing well is you need to, everybody, stay young. You got to stay young. And you know what's interesting about this is that someone might be here and say, excuse me, Pastor Toledo, but your hair is quite gray. So you could say that, but I actually am young. Okay? It's not talking about that. It's not talking about age. It's talking about your heart. It's talking about the disposition of your spirit. See, some people could be young, but your spirit is old. In fact, in Philly, we had a moment where Pastor Jose just exhorted us during the worship because sometimes hearts get hard. It's not automatic to have a soft heart. The key to a soft heart is, guess what? You have to, everyone, stay young. So it's funny because they were looking at it from such an earthly perspective at that moment. Like, for example, I saw this post about Tiger Woods this past week. It says, Tiger Woods' last 8 starts. So, Jake, what does WD mean again? Yes, okay. So his last 8 starts, he withdrew, he missed the cut, he finished in 45th place, he withdrew from it, he ended up 8, he was 18 out of 20, he withdrew, okay, he was in 60th place, and he missed the cut, okay? The great Tiger Woods, and here's what they said. They said, eventually, Father Time catches up with everyone. So physically speaking, Tiger Woods, because of injuries and all that, he can't do what he used to because physically no one can like be, you can't be 25 when you're 55, even though people are really trying to do that. But I got news for you, that ricketiness, you feel it. You can work out, I'm trying. You know, but I got to keep my workouts to grandpa workouts. If I do too much, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It's you, there. You know, it is what it is in the physical realm, but not in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, you can stay young. And when you stay young in the spiritual realm, guess what? You stay young mentally and emotionally. In other words, one of the secrets to well-being mentally and emotionally is you need to stay young. I remember when I went to Florida with my dad because, and our whole family went, my dad was probably about 75. And my grandma died. And so like all of these, I mean, Cubans came out of the woodwork. Right? And so we were there, and it was actually in Miami, so it was like, I mean, Cuba thick, right? And then, but there were all of these, you know, senior citizens there with my dad. And my dad was, worked and did like construction. Every time he came over the house, I had a list of things for him to fix. He was putting in a basement in one of our houses, like, I mean, serious work, 75, 76. He got hurt when he was 84. He got to my sister's house, and he didn't want to wait for her, so he climbed on the fence, like this high. He jumped off the fence and tore his Achilles tendon. And that's when he started to fail a little bit. But at 84, I'm like, Dad, you're 84 years old. What are you doing trying to climb a fence, you know? Anyway, and I'm going to get to a sermon in a moment. Anyway, I'll never forget my dad. He was like 75 years old. He goes, man, compared to all of these, my friends, he goes, I'm like a baby. He's like, I'm feeling good. How many know your spirit can be like that? How many want to stay young? But he was talking about heart. He was talking about your spirit. So what I want to do is I want to take the next few moments to talk about what are the keys to staying young. How do you stay young as a Christian? How do you stay young in your spirit? How do you become like a little child in your spirit? Regardless of how old you are, outwardly we're wasting away, the Bible says, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. That's what the Bible says. So let me pray for a moment. And I want to pray that we would learn how to become like little children. That we would be as Jesus said, unless you change and become. So come on, lift your hands in Philadelphia. Lift your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this holy, godly, blessed advice, this teaching and instruction that you gave to your disciples that you're now giving to us. We receive this personally today, And God, we ask that you would make our hearts like the hearts of little children. Bless this word, bless our time, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Okay, so what does it take to stay young? Well, he says you have to become like little children. So let's learn from kids today. And here are the keys to staying young. First of all, you have to stay needy if you want to stay young. Stay needy. Children are very needy. And children don't mind being needy. And children don't mind asking mom and dad for one thing after the next thing after the next thing. They ask you for one thing. They ask you to buy them one thing. And when you buy them that one thing, once they've played with it for like 3 hours, they ask you for the next thing. And then they ask you for food, and they ask you for clothing, and they ask you for this. And they have no problem continuing to ask mom and dad. They recognize their need, they live out of need, and that's the way it is. They have no problem being needy. Now, in other words, what children don't do is children don't take on the responsibilities that belong to their parents. You see? Children don't worry about how it's going to get paid for. You know, like I've always lamented of my son. You know, when you buy that $6 box of cereal, you guys know where I'm going with this. It's like one bowl, brother, one bowl. It's like six bowls. There's no more Frosted Flakes. You know what I mean? That costs a lot of money. It's like eat it all at one time. Why? Because another box is coming. Not worrying about that, you know. So that's why, listen, get them working soon. Like, get a... But the truth of the matter is, listen to this. Children don't carry the burdens that their parents should carry. And do you know, when you become an adult, it's very easy to think that you're supposed to carry everything. But how many know there are many, many things that you and I are not supposed to carry? The Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. If he takes care of the birds and the lilies of the field, surely he will take care of you. Could somebody say amen? Come on, put your hands together in Philadelphia. I've noticed over the years that I get very old when I start to worry. You know, my spirit gets old when I start to carry burdens, but the Bible says, praise be to the living God who daily bears our burdens. And so you might be here today and you're out of sync with God and you're out of sync with yourself and you feel stiff and old and crusty, and it's because you're walking around carrying things that you should have rolled over to the Lord. The Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord. And God does not want us to worry. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear not, because he's got your tomorrow all taken care of. Come on, let's say we believe that right now. I believe you've got my tomorrows in hand. And some of us, we have to break through and say, no, Jesus, I give you my tomorrow, God. I trust you for my tomorrow, Lord. You know what's coming in an hour, and you know what's coming in 10 hours. But whatever happens is that when I get there, you're going to be there. How many believe he's going to be right there with you? Don't carry what you're not supposed to carry, because it's impossible to stay young. So stay needy. It's okay to be needy. It's okay to say you've got this. And here's what you're going to discover. You're going to discover that because God wants to grow your faith, okay, He's always going to have something that it feels like it's on you, but it's not. It's on him. And it's going to be something greater and greater than you've ever faced. And when that happens, you have to know that he was faithful. He was faithful 5 years ago with the smaller thing. And he's faithful over and over and over. And now he gives you this big thing. Look, I look up at this building. I remember when we started Chicago Tabernacle. And man, we had no idea. In the first year, we received 8 $10,000 checks. Right? The people weren't paying the bills. We had to do construction. We had to do all kinds of things. It's like the bills were being taken care of from other places, you know? And that was a great lesson to my wife and I on our faith journey because hey, how many know? No, it's not about your strength. It's not about my strength. It's not about your abilities. It's about his goodness and his faithfulness and his promise to care for us. So then when we were moving into this building and we had done this great capital campaign and all kinds of stuff, and we were midway through this project and we're halfway there, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, man, we were, I don't know how much, we were $250,000, $350,000 short. And I'm like, Lord, we did everything right, Lord. You know, we did everything right. We were so responsible. And it costs overrun. And I remember the Lord saying, yo, who's got this? You know? And we went into that meeting. We're with the board and the president of the bank, and we're like, hey, everything's going really, really great. Great. Yeah, everything's going on schedule. It's fantastic. Great. We got one problem. We're short like $300,000. They're like, how are you going to pay for that? I didn't know what to say. I said, well, you're going to give it to us, right? And guess what? They did. Hallelujah. I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm saying that we are called to keep trusting God. And don't be surprised by a greater faith challenge in your life. Just stay needy and say, I trust you. God, I trust you. How many want to trust Jesus more? Come on, in Philadelphia, more than ever before. So you have to stay needy, and a needy disposition is very different from a disposition that is not. You can tell needy people are humble, right? It's like there's a proverb that says, the poor man pleads, the rich man demands, right? It's a disposition. It's like, hey, I expect this done. There's different when your heart is like, I need you, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Doesn't matter how much money you make, right? Oh, bless me now, my Savior. You can't keep your kids healthy or protected. How many? Only Jesus could do that. We need him, right? So over and over, you wake up, I come to thee. If you want to stay young, you have to stay needy. And you would think that being needy would be like more burdensome, but it's not. Not when you become like a little child. Because little child just trusted mom and dad. How do we know? We have a dad who will take care of us. Somebody, let's say amen to that one more time. Hallelujah. Yes. So that's the first thing. Second thing, if you want to stay young, you have to stay reachable. Everybody say, stay reachable. This is a very, very interesting point here. And I want to give you a couple of illustrations as I go to land there. So, for example, you know, I've been reading the Bible for 40 years now. And sometimes I have to change translations. So ESV, NIV, Good News Translation, NLT. Like, I switch translations. And here's when I switch the translation. I've read the Bible so much that sometimes when I'm reading it, I can predict the line that's coming. And whenever I do that, I switch translations. If it's happening a lot, I switch translation, because just the change of a couple of words, because I want my heart and my eyes to be fresh. I don't want my Bible time to be predictable. There should be nothing predictable about your time with God. You see? And so what's cool about kids is that kids have this ability to be continually surprised over and over and over again. Kids, they have this, there's something about them that, you have a little baby and you go, boo, and they go, ha, 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 and boo, ha. You could do it 20 times and he's gonna like, it's like the first time. You know why? It's because they have this amazing ability to still wonder. There's a song, may we never lose our wonder. You know, may we never lose our wonder. My wife is saying right now, don't sing, please. I hear you, honey, right? But the thing is this, as Christians, we're not supposed to lose our wonder. So I was talking to Pastor Tim about this, and he was sharing about the fact that when Elam, who was playing this is hysterical. So look at where this mic is. So Elam is 6'7", but he wasn't always 6'7". When Elam was a little baby, he loved this book, Good Night Moon. Can we put this up? You see, I know some of the old school folks. How many? Let me see here. I'm just curious. All right. This is a classic. You young people, look it up. This is a classic children's book. So anyway, 60 years, Good Night Moon. So anyway, Elam loved this book when he was a baby. And at a certain point, Tim hid Good Night Moon for about 3 weeks. All right, Elam, you finally find out what happened, right? So he was like, I cannot read this book again. I just can't do it. I got to read a different book. I can't read Good Night Moon again. But see, when you're a child, you can continue to marvel. You can continue to experience something as wonderful and good. And that means that you can be reached by something. And you and I, we need to stay reachable, which means God wants our hearts to be like little children so that we could still marvel at the glory of God. We can still celebrate the goodness of God. We can be blown away by the presence of God. Something can happen between us and God that makes us cry, that makes us weep, because our hearts are reachable. Is your heart reachable today? Or have you gotten hard and old, like you think you know it all? How many know when it comes to God, even when we get to heaven, we still won't know it all? When we get to heaven, we'll learn more and more and more, and we'll glory and we'll worship him over and over and over again, because he is infinite. He is unknowable to the fullest. And I want to tell you, keep your heart reachable. Why is worship so important? You know why worship is important? I have this in my notes. Let me put it this way. I want to say it this way. Those who don't prioritize worship don't prioritize wonder. And so you show me a Christian who never worships, I'm going to show you a Christian with no wonder. And you show me a Christian with no wonder, I'm going to show you a Christian whose walk with God is pretty flat. It's flat. Your walk with God is not supposed to be just principles. It's supposed to be a relationship, a loving, worshipful relationship. Are you reachable today? What's your time alone with God? Like I'm telling you right now, if you seek him, you'll find him. He'll meet you on a plane. He'll meet you in the park. He'll meet you in the office. You know, he will meet you wherever you are if you reach towards him. If you say like Psalm 65, praise awaits you here. You will never get bored with God. If you're bored with God, it's because you've become unreachable. Everybody say, stay reachable. The key to staying reachable is to reach. It's to, when you're alone with God, you minister to him. Like, you don't hear this anymore. But God ministers to us, and we minister to him. How do you give someone who has everything? How do you give, what could you give God, right? In Philadelphia, what could you give to God when he owns everything? You can worship him. And when you worship him, you know, when you minister to him, when you say in the morning, I love you, God. I love you. When you go for a walk, I love you. This is real Christianity. He starts to draw near to you. And all of a sudden, you can say, oh, God met me today. The Lord met me today. That's emotionalism. That's not emotionalism. That's Christianity. Imagine you get married and, you know, they say, and you may kiss your bride. You kiss your bride. Then you only kiss her one time. How many know after 30 years, you still want another kiss? All right, we're going to keep it right there. But I hope after 20 years, you still kiss your wife on the mouth, right? It's like, you're not roommates, you know? So a relationship should always have wonder. It should always be new and fresh. And God wants you, like, he so wants to meet with you. He literally says, abide with me. He literally says, abide in my love. Abide in my word. In John chapter 15. What is he saying? He's saying, come spend time with me. And it's not dead. It's alive. You know? How many want a relationship with God that is alive? That is full of wonder. Maybe we should play, may we never lose our wonder, right? Singers, be ready. Yes, you are beautiful in all your ways. When was the last time you sang that to God? You know, when I'm praying for you, this is the kind of stuff I pray about. You know? This is the kind of stuff. You know why? Because I know if you're connecting with God like this, then your bills, your struggles, your problems, does not the Bible say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And what? And all things will be added unto you. When I'm praying for you, this is the kind of stuff I'm praying for. Yes, I pray for your protection. I pray for God's provision in your life. But when it really comes down to it is that, man, if you could just be reaching to God and God is reaching to you, you will be good. Just be like a little child. Stay reachable. And then here's the last thing before we worship the Lord a little bit. So stay needy. Everybody say, stay needy. Stay reachable. And then here's the last thing. Stay healthy. Stay healthy. Have you noticed that the only time a kid, a toddler, for example, is not bouncing around with energy and life and has mommy on roller skates, looking at a mommy right here, she knows, she's like going, right? Because she has that those rollerblades in the house on all the time, right? So the only time a kid is not full of balanced energy is when they're sick. When they're sick, they're listless. They just want to lay on mommy's shoulder. They want mommy, they're just like this, right? So sometimes we don't realize our walk with God gets listless. We're like, when it comes to the things of God, watching Netflix or watching Prime is more interesting than reading our Bible. I'm going to the game. It's Father's Day. I'd rather just stay home and grill than worship with my children. Like all of those things, right, that we graduate, we move away from God, a lot of times it's reflective of the fact that we might be spiritually sick. Maybe you have a spiritual cold right now. Maybe you've got a spiritual temperature. You're not realizing that, man, you just don't have energy towards the Lord. Something has happened. Sometimes, maybe you're carrying an offense, and that offense, that unforgiveness is making you sick. Maybe you've gotten bitter about something, or maybe you're so preoccupied with something else that, and all of a sudden, you're just not right. You got the sniffles. You're like, man, I don't feel like. But God can make you healthy. I'll close, look at this verse. What is Psalm 103? My wife sent this to me this morning. Look. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, the eagles, they go up on a mountain and they spend some time there and they shed their feathers. Eagles are the most awesome bird. They have eyes that see miles away. They're hunters. They're these amazing animals. But even eagles, they can soar miles high in the sky, but even eagles have to be renewed. And there's a process for renewal because for some reason they need new feathers and they need new this, new that. Well, you and I are the same way. And sometimes we need for God to renew our youth like he renews the eagle. How many would love to be renewed by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the presence of God and the power of God? So come on, with eyes closed in Philadelphia, we have enough time to just minister to the Lord.